Beloved Royal Oak worshiping community in our sanctuary and wherever you are this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit comes into you, fills you, guides you. And the title of my sermon this morning is, The Disciples, Are They Really Drunk on New Wine? No, as Peter said, no. But I want to take you on a little trip before I start my sermon. And the trip I want to take you on is across the world. Yes, even in these times of COVID, across the world to Yokohama, Japan. And in Yokohama, Japan, there is a world-famous pink roller coaster. And you happen to be a member of the American Coaster Enthusiast Association. You are an ACE, ACE. And you're going to Japan to see this pink roller coaster, not because it's pink, but because it is one of the very rare plunge roller coasters. A plunge roller coaster is a roller coaster that gets to the top and suddenly tips over the edge and goes down at 60 miles an hour into nothing but a pool of water. Now, it's easy for me to say, but imagine you just traveled 120 feet into the air, and your heart is beating faster and faster, but the roller coaster is going slower and slower. And you see your friends way down there taking pictures of you. And you don't want to be up there. You'd rather be down there. But the roller coaster gets to the top and it slowly tips over. Now, normally you would be comforted in some way by the fact that you see tracks. But in this roller coaster, you see the tracks going into a pool of water. And you start screaming. And before you know it, you are smashing into the water. And then, this is true, you are surrounded by blackness. Hold that thought. Dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, lift up, inspire, fill, and set on fire your beloved worshiping community in person and online, so we may carry the Holy Spirit everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you some background before we get back to our roller coaster. The festival of Pentecost that we are celebrating today comes from the Greek. You knew that, right? And the Greek word Pentecoste means 50. So Pentecost is 50 days after Easter Sunday. And it takes place in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the center of the Jewish world at the time. Now, also taking place in Jerusalem at that time was a Jewish festival called Shavuot. And Shavuot was the festival of the weeks. It was the celebration honoring the day that God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. So at the time that the Acts of the Apostles was written, truthfully, nobody was there to celebrate Pentecost, but they were there to celebrate the Shavuot festival, which came 50 days after Passover. And so the street was mobbed with all the people from all the countries that Sarah mentioned, and even more. Hundreds of thousands of people crowded into Jerusalem that day. And if you were there and you were walking down the streets as a tourist, you might have thought, yeah, this is where the action is, right? Look at these people, look at these people, look at those people. I am in the middle of the action. Except you would have been wrong. You see, the real action that day in Jerusalem was not outdoors. The real action was indoors. It was in a room crowded with 120 followers of Jesus. And they were there praying. They had no idea what was about to happen. But suddenly, in that room with the doors closed and the windows closed, a wind started up. A wind that, look at the words that Sarah read, fierce wind blew through that room. Today we might call that a hurricane. Winds of 90 to 100 miles an hour or more, except they weren't outside, they were in a room. And in that fierce wind blowing, a windstorm filled the room. And that would have been surprising enough, except suddenly a pillar of fire appeared in that room. And you not only had a windstorm in the room, you had a firestorm in that room. A fire whipped around by gale force, hurricane force winds. And then, astonishingly, as the disciples might have been fearful for their lives, that pillar of fire broke apart and settled into tongues of flame on the heads of all the disciples. Now, I'm guessing that some of the disciples were sitting there and going, "Look at that, there's a tongue of flame on him." And that same person would have been over there looking at this disciple thinking, "Look at that, there's a tongue of flame on him." What did this mean? Well, at first, it was just chaos in the room. Wind, fire, blowing, dancing, swirling. But then their fear diminished. Because as their fear diminished, they were filled up with the Spirit of God, with the breath of God, with the energy of God. And suddenly, instead of saying, "You've got a tongue of fire on your head," they started praising God. Praising God, 120 people in a room, praising God, bursting forth. I'm not sure how many doors or windows got pushed off their hinges that day, but they burst forth out of that room into the crowded streets. And they started preaching and teaching. And what's important to understand is each disciple found the courage to speak the God that was in his heart or her heart. And each disciple no longer whispered about God. They proclaimed God. Think about that. They went from being mice that just went chip, 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 to lions that roared about God. And they burst into the streets, and we have the first miracle that we're celebrating today in this sermon, and that's the miracle of tongues. Now, you know the miracle of tongues. They went to people from any country, spoke about God, proclaimed, and those people could hear. Wow. And imagine the effect that had on the people from Mesopotamia and Iran and Samaria and all the other places where the Jewish people had gathered from. They would be thinking, "How is it possible these people know my language?" But after they got over that initial shock, they would have heard, understood the good news that Jesus is a God who is powerful, loving, and forgiving. That wasn't because they were drunk on new wine. That was because the Holy Spirit was filling them, making them strong, and making them bold. So that's a miracle, right? Miracle of the tongues, and you all know that. But you know, if you think about Pentecost very much, you start to understand that there was a second miracle that happened at that time, and that had to have been the miracle of hearing. Because not only were the disciples speaking in tongues, but the people that were there could now understand. And please understand this. The people that heard those disciples were Jewish people. They came to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of Shabbat. They were not there to learn about Jesus. They were not thinking, "You know, I need Jesus in my life." That was the furthest thing from their mind. And yet, suddenly, they became enamored of Jesus. They fell in love with Jesus. That is the miracle of the hearing. Because if you look at the action of hearing simply in human terms, we have sound waves that go through the air. Can't see them, but I can hear them. And they go into our ear and they tickle little tiny hairs in our ears. Not the hairs that stick out of your ears and make you look really old, but the little tiny hairs inside your ears. And the sound waves tickle those hairs. They go past there to some bones, tiny bones in your ear. Those bones vibrate. Your eardrum vibrates, sends vibrations to the brain, and you understand. That's the physical part of it. But the God miracle part of it is that even though you came from a different country, you heard God proclaimed, and you fell in love with God that day. So I started out talking about a roller coaster and plunging 120 feet at 60 miles an hour into a pool of water. And if you think that sounds exciting, that is nothing compared to the miracle of hearing when all of a sudden the Word of God, the presence of God, goes inside you and explodes. You know, if we read the Bible every morning, every evening, we are looking at black and white words on a page, sometimes red words on a page, and it's kind of an intellectual exercise, and that's great. But what happened on Pentecost was 180 degrees different from an intellectual exercise. The hearers of the disciples that day were broken open by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as they were broken open, God's word, and think about this, God's word is God's presence. God's presence came into them and exploded. So powerfully that 3,000 people were baptized that day. That is a lot of people. But that was only the second miracle, the miracle of the tongues, the miracle of the healing, hearing. But the third miracle that day was the miracle of the fire. I can speak from very personal experience on this. Fire is a subtractive process. Fire consumes. It uses fuel, like wood, like paper, like bushes on Glebe Road. It uses fuel and consumes that fuel and makes it disappear. But the fire of the Holy Spirit is not subtractive. The fire of the Holy Spirit is additive. Fire is not normally additive. This is the miracle, because the fire of the Holy Spirit brought God into their lives. And if you want to know, what does that mean? If we go to Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. The power of God, the miracle of the fire, the miracle of the tongues, the miracle of hearing, cut those people to the heart. They did not wake up that morning thinking they were going to convert to become a follower of Jesus. And yet they were cut to the heart, and they did. So that's great, right? We got the miracle of the tongues, miracle of healing, miracle of the fire. I can wrap up this sermon and we are done. No. We're not done. Because as much as we celebrate the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, yay! The Holy Spirit also gives us problems. the Holy Spirit does not come into our lives to solve our problems. But being very truthful, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and creates problems. Once we've been touched by the Holy Spirit, going back to the old ways is not an option. Those people that traveled to Jerusalem, those 3,000 who were baptized, who started the church that day, they could not go back to their home country and say, "Oh, honey, by the way, I got baptized. I'm a follower of Jesus." What? They had a lot of explaining to do when they got home. But this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will not let us be the same. When we are filled with the love of God, we have to proclaim it. When we are filled with the love of God, sitting on the sofa and eating chips is not a normal thing anymore. The new people of God were sent out through the ancient world to proclaim about God. And how crazy was that message? The crazy message was, they proclaimed that a rabbi who was itinerant, who was not recognized by the Pharisees, who committed blasphemy according to the Pharisees, who came from some backwater town, right? And who was executed with thieves, that's the person we're going to follow. Yeah, that's how crazy this was. But God sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lived with them and in them and strengthened them. And just want to finish up and consider this. Please don't fall into the trap of thinking, Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, happens once a year. Okay, we can put it away. Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit being poured into the lives of the disciples. The Holy Spirit is poured into our lives every day. Every day we can open ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We recently had a worship committee meeting. We have some ideas coming up that will blow your minds. Yes, one of the ideas involves ice cream, just saying. But these ideas were planted by the work of the Holy Spirit. The fact that we are reopening today is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is we are reopened. The extra work news is that the Holy Spirit is laying on us. We need to bring our people back. We need to invite back the members. Share this fellowship with us. And so, I just want you to understand that sometimes when the Word of God is on us, it also means that the weight of God is on us. And when I use the word weight, I mean the responsibility to proclaim the good news of God and salvation and redemption and forgiveness. So I just want to finish with a quote by the Reverend Grace Mathew. She is a UMC minister in Illinois. Now, Reverend Grace talks about Pentecost in such an astonishingly beautiful way. To my mind, it's right up there with the poem by William Blake. But this is what she says about Pentecost. Pentecost is about breaking down the walls of our cocoon of fear. Pentecost is the powerful entry of the Holy Spirit into our lives to rearrange our world in surprisingly new ways. Pentecost is the invasion of God into our lives. And when each one of us in our world hears the good news in our own language, we are healed, we are empowered. Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community in our sanctuary and watching us online, wherever you are, the Holy Spirit brings the good news of salvation. You are healed. You are empowered. And we give thanks and praise that we are called to be a Church of Christ ministry, a church of the miracle of God's love. We are thanks and giving thanks and praise that we can celebrate Pentecost every day in our lives, because the same Holy Spirit, that same gale force wind, that same storm of fire that went into that closed room is all around us and within us. As we live the lives we are called to live, as we reach out to each other in fellowship of love and grace and forgiveness. And we give thanks that we are part of this awesome miracle upon miracle upon miracle. In Jesus' name, amen.